Hello English Podcast, a podcast for EFL learners and teachers. This is one more episode of the Follow English Podcast. Today is April the 9th, 2015, Thursday. My name is Marcos Gazana and I'm speaking from Porto Alegre in the south of Brazil. This is episode 64 of the Follow English Podcast. Today I'm going to be speaking about error correction in the EFL classroom or ESL classroom, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to start by reading a short passage from a blog post that I found today. It's by Larry Ferlazzo, and it was published by the British Council Teaching English blog. So you can find it if you look for just Google Larry Ferlazzo, ESL, ELL, error correction, yes, no, or maybe, and if you add British Council or blog or something, that might help you find this blog post. So I'm going to read the first three paragraphs, and then I'm going to make some comments. This episode is directed to EFL teachers, and also, if you are a student, if you are learning English as a foreign language, it might give you some insights, let's say. It might open your mind, open your eyes, let's say, to some different ways of thinking in relation to error correction in the classroom. So let me start then by reading the three first paragraphs of Larry's blog post. The issue of error correction, particularly focused on grammar, can be a controversial topic in ESL-ELL circles. A number of studies suggest that correction, either through prompts that point out the error to a student and require an immediate attempt at a repair, or through recasts when teachers rephrase correctly what the student said, can be a useful tool to assist language acquisition. Other research, however, suggests the opposite, that overt grammar correction can actually be harmful to the English language learner. Some researchers suggest that oral grammar correction interrupts communicative activities and can generate a negative reaction from students to public correction. These studies point to similar hindrances resulting from correcting written grammatical errors, saying that it contributes to stress that inhibits language learning. These two points of view partially rely on varying aspects on the difference between language acquisition and language learning. To acquire a language, according to many who question the use of error correction, it is important to have a greater emphasis on communication rather than the correct form. Researchers like Stefan Krashen would suggest that learning a language in school can instead focus too much on the correct forms through grammar instruction and worksheets and not result in students actually being able to communicate effectively in the real world. So let me start my comments by saying that this issue is directly related in a way to learners' profiles, because there are learners who are more grammar driven, and these learners will certainly ask you as a teacher to correct them more often, and or correct them in their minds. They would say like, oh, I would like you to correct every single mistake I make. But is this actually possible? Is it actually possible to correct every single mistake? Or how do we do that? Should we choose the right time? Should we choose the right the kind of mistakes? So we have to do a little bit of negotiation here with this kind of students and try to convince them and try to show them that if we actually correct every single mistake, communication won't flow. Yeah? We won't be able to communicate in class, yeah, or communicate effectively. So of course the other extreme is also maybe not a good idea, because there are students who sometimes are not worried about mistakes, and they simply start speaking non-stop without thinking or without processing the language. And these people have a strong difficulty to, let's say, to improve or to increase the command they have of the language, because they never think the language through. They never process the language in a way that they can keep control, that they can, that they improve their command of the language, of the structures, of the vocabulary that they are using, and so on and so forth. So I think there are the two different learner profiles here. Of course, I'm talking about the extremes. There was one episode I would like to remind you. That's episode 5 of the Follow English podcast. You can go to the webpage of the podcast which is at pods.followenglish.com.br, and you just use the search box there. You can type learners profiles, and you will certainly or look for episode 5, and you will find a more, let's say, detailed discussion about different learners profiles. But what I want to say here is that error correction, in a way, it's directly related to the way students come to you, and sometimes they ask you. I teach a lot of one-to-one classes, so in my case it's always different. Like each different student I have, I deal with this issue in a different way. Some students ask me to correct them a lot. Still, I don't correct them 100% of the times, because it's really impossible to do that. But I correct them a little bit more, and I do a little bit more of on-spot correction, which is correcting them when they make the mistakes. Of course, there are different techniques. You can try to elicit, you can get them to rephrase, you can write on the board. There are many, many techniques. I'm not going to talk about all the different techniques to correct students in the classroom. But you see, with different students, I think this has a little bit of gut feeling coming from the teacher as well. The student imposes a little bit the way he wants to be corrected by telling the teacher, especially at the beginning of their relationship, when they start studying together. The student comes to the teacher and says, "Well, I want to be corrected all the time." And then you know that this kind of learner, you will have to deal with it in one way. Of course, you will end up negotiating, even if it's not a direct negotiation about error correction. You will, after a few classes, you will feel the student, and you will see how you will deal with this. And with other students, it's the opposite. It's they don't want to be corrected. They want to express their ideas. They want to keep speaking. And sometimes these students, you have to hold their horses a little bit. Another issue that we should consider in this discussion about error correction is whether we're actually asking the right questions when we're having a speaking activity with our students in the classroom. Because I feel that when we ask the right questions, students will try to answer your questions and share their knowledge about the world without being worried about whether they're making a mistake in English or not. They will speak naturally. They will speak with their hearts. Let's say, let's put it this way. They will answer your question because you need that information, that piece of information. It's not because they're trying to check if they can produce a correct sentence in English. And I think this helps the dynamic of the class, of the activities. I mean, in the classroom. And then it moves the focus away a little bit from that thing about using correct language. And it moves more to the other side, to the side of communicating, expressing ideas, sharing knowledge about real life. And this is where this is another thing to consider when we think about error correction. Because sometimes you're so interested in the answer that you're not really worried. You're trying to understand. You're not really worried about correction. And the learner is trying to express his idea in the best way possible, in the best way he can, in he or she can. But so I think these are some random thoughts, some comments that I wanted to share with you. So are we actually asking the right questions? And are we really interested in what our learners are saying? And when should we correct as well? So should we do a lot of on-spot correction? Maybe this is another episode in the future. So I'm not answering all these questions, in fact, but I'm just discussing them. These are some random thoughts. Anyway, I would like to, before I finish, I would like to remind you that the webpage for this podcast is at pods.followenglish.com.br. There you can add your email to the email list. You can subscribe via email, and then you will get a notification every time there is a new episode out there. You can also subscribe via iTunes or via Stitcher. I noticed that now in April, I've had quite a few listeners from Italy. So thank you very much for listening. It's weird because every month I have different nationalities in the lead. That's great because that means that lots of different people are listening. And I hope you're all learning something. Last month, I had lots of people from the Middle East and there were some people from Libya as well, from some north of Africa, and from Saudi Arabia, and now lots of people from Italy. So, okay, well, thank you very much. I feel glad I'm helping some people learn English. Keep listening then, and I'll see you next time. Bye.